Okay, so I've got this one for the happies, because right now I'm considering, well, that's what I've been considering for a while, to split the story between the first part leading up to Pio's entering that Krishna temple, and then I could as well maybe call the second part the happiest, because it's mainly about those funny people right there in the temple. So again, in relation to what I just spoke about in the previous one and before, about this gang of people who are just completely artificially stuck in a meaningless lifestyle, thinking they are very sophisticated, and these funny Hare Krishna people who are just around there and puncturing, or whatever you say, that illusion, that can be actually very funny. So here's one such scene. It's very briefly described, more in terms of how it will look in a film. You have this house. In the Swedish perfect suburb, a small town, all the houses are just so pretty, and well, I could make it the same color or whatever to just show the what's it called? Conformist mood. Okay, it's snow. It's actually Christmas, you can see, because there are these lights everywhere in the gardens, little lamps in the bushes and all that. There are Christmas trees there in the windows. And so on, we really established that perfect Swedish Christmas Eve. So it's around 4 o'clock or something. Donald Duck is just finishing. And we see in all the windows into the living rooms of everyone, by some coincidence. And everywhere you see people sitting in the same position, same way, basically dressed the same. Adults, kids, and so on. Watching that TV with the Donald Duck on it. I mean, this whole scene could be or should be maybe preceded by the previous chapter where the Sankirtan part of these monks realizes it's Christmas Eve and all the shops close, So they stand there on the parking lot discussing what to do. And then some of them come up, the leader comes up, this Chinese guy comes up with this idea. Oh my goodness. That way, you know, we go door to door. That's the only thing we can do. So Pio, he goes like, I don't think it's a very good idea. And the others go, ah, come on, Prabhu, be transcendental. Because the Chinese leader has no idea what Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock or so means to Swedish people. So they go there, out there, and they drop off our Pio, who then stands there looking at that villa area. In suburbia. And then we'll drop into this chapter. So then you are in one of those houses. And we just enact a typical scene at that time, which happens basically everywhere. Donald Duck finishes, and the kids go. Santa Claus. Santa Claus, when is Santa Claus coming? I mean, they are living in that dreamy, artificial world of their own, just eating sweets, all of this extreme, almost fluorescent colors. Drinking all kinds of bubble drinks, standing there in bottles, and also in colors that make them look like they're radioactive or something. And all over there are these. You can see it's a lot of marketing going on, companies with their logos on the bottles and everywhere. And you understand that these people are just captured in a big scheme devised by merchants, which of course is a fact. So the kids, they are like that, just waiting for their Christmas gifts. I wished for this, I wished for that. And you can see that the old the old Christmas with that more moody scene where people are together and they dance around the Christmas tree and sing together and all of that is gone. You can see that now it's just a matter of getting things. for the kids. And the parents they're just competing, giving each other and the kids things to show that they are well off financially and all of that. And the food. And the sugar and the this and that. And you have daddy there or the daddies. Maybe there are a few relatives there together. Everyone is dressed up, and the men, they have, of course, what they like the most about it is to drink alcohol. You know, drink all these kind of different drinks. And the ladies, and fantastic colored liquids. There could even be the head of the pig still there on the table. Yes, we used to have that. Anyway, so daddy tries to pacify the kids. Oh, just wait a little bit. And he looks through the window and you see a Santa Claus coming there. And then there is, well, the doorbell rings, and everybody goes, oh, and the kids are just nervous, and you know, the little kids, they are nervous when Santa Claus comes, and there's a whole thing going on there, and they all open the door. Daddy looks out the window and that Santa Claus walking the other direction for a little bit far away, and he looks a bit bewildered, and so but then they urge him, push him forward, and then you have the hallway, big hallway, and all the kids, the whole family standing, two or three families standing there, all the kids and the adults behind, and they are looking as Daddy's walking up to the door, opening it, and then you hear this mantra, hello, we're from Korsnäs Garden, we're selling these, we're distributing these books today, blah, 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 which we should have established before. Another funny scene, how they learn this, that they call a mantra. So they're just saying the same thing over and over. And that's, of course, what makes Pio a bit wary about this whole thing, because he doesn't really like to just go and say the same mindless thing over and over. And of course, it's supposed to be mindless because it's a mantra, right? Freeing the mind. Anyway, he's saying his thing there, holding out the book. And then you see the, you could have like a wide angle or something from the point of view of Pio when he's holding out the book, POV. And you see the man looking at it, the children around, they're staring at that book. And then we'll cut to Pio outside, the door going slam. And he turns around and just laughs, saying, "This is fun." So he walks off to the next house, and on the way he meets the Santa Claus. One of them, there are several walking around. And just a guy. Badly disguised, though, with a very ugly mask on. And Peter goes, "Hare Krishna." And then maybe he takes a couple of steps and he turns back. As a matter of fact, and calls back the man and tries to sell him a book too. That man. He will just, of course, he has met Peo and these his friends so many times down by the parking lot in downtown. So he gets angry and just goes, "Fuck off, you idiot. Can't you leave us alone? Even at this time." To have this Santa Claus supposed to be jolly. Either that's it, or we could have a discussion there, a quarrel between our Bayo, who is a bit cross-traded too. About these stupid artificial people. And he's saying, and the Chinese guy could have said it before when he kicked them out of the van. These are the real Christmas gifts. And then Peter says that now also. These are the real Christmas gift, the matchless gift. Oh, yeah. Says to Santa Claus. some old religious book that you can't even understand. Nothing has done so much harm as a religion. He goes with his. And he's also just going with standard cliche talk. And if we really want to take this over the top, which we're supposed to do, and the whole thing could turn into loud quarrel and almost to start beating each other up. Man becomes angry, takes the book from the hand of Peter and throws it in the snow. Get out of here, you idiot, otherwise... She's a little tipsy. Otherwise, you've got to taste this, and he holds up his fist. It takes the book and Pierce says, give it back. And rushes forward. And the man pushes him away a bit viciously. Then Pierce gets angry and he jumps on the guy and pulls his his beard. Which is, I don't know, the mask or whatever, which of course is it's attached with rubber bands around his head. So he just pulls it very far, actually, without the rubber bands breaking, maybe 20 centimeters or something. And the guy shouts, it's like roaring. Let go of that. And then Pio does, and it goes whack into his face. the Santa Claus guy. So it's just completely ridiculous, hilarious, and they make so much noise that doors open and people start coming out. Maybe some other Santa Claus stands and looks at it. And then the little kids that he says to his parents, hey, daddy, Santa Claus is fighting. And you can see he looks like some illusions are just pouring off him. We can go with that. Another one, the same geist. That's a beautiful one. And these are exactly as it actually happened, except for that last brawl there, which I added. And the guy speaking this was actually Pio in that scene. I don't think he spoke to Santa Claus. Maybe actually he tried to sell a book to Santa Claus. Okay, anyway, don't remember details, but that's not important. Now, the next story. Is when the guy, this party fixer guy in Stockholm, calls up Pio for like the second or third time. They some or other likes the devotees, think they're funny, and so he wants them to be surprises for certain parties and events. He's an event maker or a master, whatever you call it. This is also a real story. I think I remember his name. Anyway, but that's not what we're going to mention here. I think he's a little famous. Among the in crowd. So this time, the biggest and most famous entertainment palace in Stockholm and the entire country called Berns. Was going to one Saturday night have a theme, which that event guy was going to develop, and he chose India. And thusly, he invited our friends, the happy devotees, as a surprise. Wanting them to just enter. Uninvited, as it seemed, and walk them, do their kirtan. Now, he hadn't really calculated with the fact that the guys he invited were kind of lively monks who had just been out on the streets selling those books, and who had that kind of crack the illusions spirit. I don't know how to show this, but I think it should be shown from the perspective of those guys. Maybe there's a girl also, I don't remember. They enter there through a back door where this guy, the party fixer, lets them in. don't know if they are actually, this may be my fantasy, but that the authors August Strindberg had this red room, which I think was in Banff, if I don't, I can check the facts, and that room still is there. So, and that when they entered through that room. We could exaggerate it a little bit to be like that. But there they are, and you have these fine société people there. Famous people, rich people, all of them were gathered there. It was a very special night. Now, it didn't really work. None of them smiled when the devotees came, because they were so high-browed, first of all, that they would never smile to these cult people or like that. So, and these people, they know how to stay very calm, coldly calm, and you got the whole subtle thing coming at them, our poor monks, who, when they noticed that this was a complete terrible flop and mistake, decided to just do what they normally do in that situation. Not care at all and just do their chanting and dancing. So they continued chant and dance through the whole place, slowly and thoroughly. And of course the drum and those cymbals, they make a lot of noise. So they were a disturbance, which people more and more visibly showed. Now, what were they going to do? Well, they went down the stair and into the big hall where the fine entertainment was generally happening on the stage, and it was going to happen later on. So the stage was there, a very famous stage in Sweden, which you often saw on television. Probably the most exclusive stage you could be on in Sweden. And there it was empty, and there was a microphone on a stand right there on it. So the two leading monks, they just glanced at each other. "Shall we?" The other one nodded. They walked over to that stage, up the little wooden stair to the stage. And there they stood and danced and chanted, just as they normally did on the square or the walking street. Then they stopped, and one of them, which happened to be our P.O., walked over to the microphone stand, grabbed the microphone, which happened to be on, and he expected someone to immediately pull down the volume, but no one did. So he started talking, and he says, "This Hare Krishna mantra is the prime benediction for humanity at large," something like that, the normal, ordinary presentation of the Hare Krishna mantra. "It's very simple and it makes you very happy. It's a meditation, all that. So I want you to now just say after me, Hare Krishna." This is also what they usually did. And if you were in the right setting, then people would generally chime in, what do you say, and respond, at least a couple there in the front. But here it was completely quiet. And the faces were now openly inimical, staring at them, probably waiting for someone to go and pull those bastards off the stage so they could continue with their meal, because that's what they were doing. They were having their dinner. Very expensive dinner too, with their friends around tables. But our PO, having started this, just had to continue. So he went through the whole mantra, Hare Krishna, again, Krishna, Krishna, and listening with his hand behind his ear for everyone else to respond, but no, quiet. But the monks, they had their routine that they knew how to do. They were well rehearsed. So then, when they were finished, they looked at each other again and just burst into a wild kirtan, jumping and dancing like mad and banging that mridanga feverishly. And this time, visibly, probably to smart people in the audience, provocative. You bastards, you're not answering, you're not even responding at all. You're trying to just be so cold to us. Not, you could at least said Hare Krishna a couple of times. So we're gonna give it to you now. And he thought he could see some here and there who then, if not smiling, at least showed something that could be remotely appreciative, probably at the nerve these guys had by doing this on that stage, their fine stage. He just hijacked it, occupied it, and punctured the whole fine place. Poof. And they walked out. And the camera, if this is a film, stays there on the stage, actually, just looking at the people. You see these monks just basically running out of there. And you see the faces of those people there. A bit bewildered, some angry, but they can't even, most of them at least, can't even be angry. They don't know what just happened. And then they just start eating again and just behaving in their normal, programmed, high-class, fine way. As if on a signal, all of them at the same time. And here we should also overdo that artificiality that you often see among fine people sitting eating around tables in a very fine restaurant and all that, right? And then we just have we just switch to the last little camera there where they are just approaching the blessed exit door. And this party fixer stands there, he too completely perplexed because this didn't turn out the way he had anticipated it and arranged it. He even paid those monks for this a little bit. And he knew he was going to get it from other people, the owners of the place, if no one else. And so you can see that in his face. And the monks just walk by him and say, "Oh, so this went well, right? Thank you very much. Call again next time you need us." And he, being a very polite person, socially adept, said, yes, mm-hmm. Very nice, good night. And of course, he never, ever called them back after that.